Hey everybody, welcome to episode 2 of the Citrus Clarion podcast located at Citrus College, where we cover the top headlines in the Clarion newspaper. All stories discussed can be found on ccclarion.com. I'm your host, Alex Lomelli, and I'm a freelancer for the Clarion. Today we are featuring current Citrus College student and self-published musician, Shane Malins.
Hello.
I am also joined today by my co-host, Michael Quintero, who featured Shane in issue 14 of the Clarion, headline, Fortune Boy Goes Solo.
Hey everyone, thanks for having me on, Alex. I'm the photo editor for the Clarion this semester, and we're here to talk about Shane's new solo project, Amor Glamour.
Shane Malins is a music major at Citrus College and has been playing music since 11 years old. Malins successfully self-recorded and published his first album, Dramatic Cinematic, on February 14th. So our first question for you is, why did you start Amor Glamour, and when was the moment that you decided to do that?
It started about 13, 14 months ago. It was when my old band, Fortune Boy, was, kind of getting rocky, and I was just getting really tired of them, just f***ing around constantly. And, I don't know, it seemed like I was being naggy, but I just realized I should start doing, this solo and, do it on my own.
And what kind of problems were, coming up with that?
I guess, wanting to record, but they would always just kind of brush it off or, okay, yeah, we'll get to that, or being so plastered at a show that, they couldn't even play the chords right, stuff like that. I was chill with everything, but not when it comes to the music.
Amor Glamour, where does that name come from?
In France, I smoked a cigarette called, it was a glam cigarette, and I just loved it. It was the best. I ended up being a chain smoker when I was there. So that, when I got back, I tried to find the name and figure it out, but everything that I could think of was taken. I don't know, it just came up Amor. I was oh, okay, and it's France, that works out, and it just kind of evened out and worked well.
So even going off that, the intentions for the album, what do you intend people to listen to, on headphones, on the radio, vinyl, or?
Oh, headphones for sure. I mean, I even recording it, I made it specifically around headphones. There's just something about having a moment with your music. It's fun to do it while driving, but when you really just fall into a song, that's really what I wanted. And you can kind of tell, because there's a lot of differences if you listen to it in the car or you listen to it with headphones. There's so many different effects and stuff that you wouldn't hear if you were listening to it on a stereo.
The album aesthetic that you wanted to go for, was there a sort of kind of vibe that you were trying to get?
Not really a vibe. It was just kind of on a whim. Everything I do for the most part, and this is just impulsive feelings. Whatever I feel at that time is what's going to happen. And we just came up with, I was supposed to name it Temporary Convulsion, but I totally switched it around at the very last second while uploading the album, just decided to name it something else.
And a lot of the songs touch on themes of love and kind of relationships. Does Dramatic Cinematic, that title, is there a relation to that, or did you think it sounded cool?
Well, I mean, it sounds cool, for sure, that's what caught it, and it goes with the Amor Glamour too, but I mean, it has some underlying symbolism, I guess, but I think the listener will have to figure that part out.
So when you started this project, how long did the process of the album take?
About a year. It was a little bit on and off. Sometimes I was going for days at a time, completely focused, and other times it was one or two days off, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, because I remember Michael was telling me that, and even in the article it mentions that you had, a bunch of stuff, scattered in your room, yeah, and stuff like that. How did that get to that level? Because, we hear about it, but, was it, a slow inclination to that?
It was, yeah, it just turned into, this is, around December-ish. My whole room was just, trash and my clothes and everything, and I knew it was bad, and I knew I did want to get it done, but every second that I didn't have work or school, I just wanted to be doing music. I knew I didn't want to waste even 20 seconds cleaning it up when I could be sitting down or making that new song or whatever. But yeah, it was pretty bad.
You put it out and everything, do you feel more relieved?
Well, relieved and also super stressed out, because I'm still trying to get the music up there now that it's out, and it's doing better than previous stuff that I've released, but it's still every day I'm constantly thinking about how I'm gonna get it going or get it better or get it out there more. But my room's clean now, so.
So how many instruments did you play on the album?
Let's see, five or six.
Which ones were they?
Guitar, bass, piano, synthesizer, omnichord, and then just the drum machine.
And you knew all those like fluently before, or did you learn them like during the process of playing?
No, I learned like the drum machine took me a long time. I learned that like kind of throughout like learning or recording the album, and the Omnicord, same thing. I like ordered it online, got it like maybe halfway through, and then I started learning how to do that. But everything else, yeah, I knew that for a while.
And when you, I know the article also mentioned you did it through YouTube. Is that how most of the stuff you learned? Because you also recorded the album using Pro Tools, like you mentioned. How was that process like, learning everything?
Oh, that's, it's the most stressful thing, like one of the most stressful things I've ever done, for sure, because it's super, super tedious. Like, you miss the little tiny, like, like wave or something is just a little off, and it's just like it throws the whole song off, or like it throws this off. Or like if you mess up one thing, then something else is messed up. Or if you get this right, then it could change the whole song altogether. Yeah, just extremely like stressful. But I mean, I'm better at it now, so.
Right, right. Earlier you mentioned about Outreach and you said it's finally published. Your music is on Spotify, and I know your band was previously on Spotify as well. What kind of like qualifications need to be in place for you to even publish stuff like that on there? Because I know some artists, up-and-coming artists, you know, it's like you could put yourself on YouTube, or everyone knows SoundCloud nowadays because we live in that era where it's just like self-published. But I never really thought about Spotify as like an option to even do. So how did that happen with you?
Well, Spotify is like the biggest platform to have it on right now, like, and that's what every artist, at least that I have talked to, is trying to like get it big on. But it's just like you can pretty much put anything on there. It's just you have to not have, like, there's some qualifications, like it can't be someone else's copyrights. You can't have a different band name. That's why I couldn't put the Glam Cigarettes. I couldn't name it a few things. But yeah, I mean, you can probably put Whale Noises on there, and like it would, as long as you pay the fee or whatever. So.
Oh, so there is a fee.
Yeah, there is. It's like, it depends on the site, but I mean, it goes either way. It can be $30 to $100 depending on like some variables and stuff.
That's like a one go kind of thing, and that's it? Once you pay that, you're on Spotify forever?
No, it's like a yearly thing. You pay every single year. You have to renew your like membership, basically. Well, it's a licensing fee, so you can keep your like code. So basically you own the rights to your song.
Now it kind of makes more sense, but SoundCloud is less professional, yeah. I would say, right?
Definitely,
I would say
so. Yeah. You can upload. I can upload from my phone like a song to SoundCloud in like 5 minutes. Like I could record you this thing right now and record it by the time this is done.
So you wanted to just have a more professional approach
to it?
Like for Spotify, like I know like a lot of up-and-coming artists will like put their music on there, but they don't have the related artists. Is there a certain amount of streams you have to hit to get like those perks?
Yeah, I think it's more than 5,000 streams is for, or it's 3,000 for related artists and 5,000 for an artist radio. And that is where they like put you on different playlists with like related artists. I finally got that after a while.
Just going off that, like, what do you think about the local scene today, like with bands that you've like met during your time?
I mean, I don't know. I had a lot of fun with Fortune Boy in the local scene, like meeting bands and stuff, and everyone's kind of got the same thing going on, but I've yet to meet someone that is as obsessed as me, so. And I guess it's cool, but I feel like everyone's just kind of doing it as, like, a trend or, like, a fun thing to do. Like, no one's, like, seriously obsessed.
So you said you've never met anyone who's taken, like, kind of like a musician career seriously in that scene, you would say?
Well, I mean, there's some people that are serious. I just don't, I haven't, around here at least, like in LA, maybe a few people I've met that are like really serious. But besides that, it seems like everyone's, just basically doing it as kind of a hobby. But I mean, all for that though, I mean, I'm sure there's people that are super into it, and like, you got to support your local scene, man. Like,
yeah. And what area are we talking about? Just so people know, like what kind of
like
cities?
I guess IE to LA basically. Like, I mean, everything around here is pretty big. Like, most bands come out of LA, IE, for the most part, you know, or New York or something, but this is where all, like, the big people come from.
And then you're saying, like, you had fun with, like, Fortune Boy during your time. Do you have, like, any stories and, like, experiences, like, playing live shows or just anything?
Yeah.
That crosses your mind?
A funny one is we played this, like, festival out in the desert, and we were super pumped to play this, like, we're like, damn, we got on a festival list, like, this is going to be great. And then we get there, and it's, like, this really weird, like, like ravey kind of thing with like 20 tents. Like it was like a Burning Man minus 20,000 people. And so we had our like set or whatever, and we basically played in front of like three people because everyone else was just like in their tents and stuff. And we just, it was just weird. Like it was like a dust storm, so my guitar got flooded. And I played in like my shorts, like my swim trunks. It was just really random. Like,
so moving on to our next question, where do you plan on taking this project after Dramatic Cinematic?
Just keeping going. I mean, I got at least another 50 songs ready to record. I just don't have the time right now to do that. Like, I want to focus on this album first. But I mean, I'm trying to work on this new single right now. That's probably going to be the next thing. But then after that, probably another album and keep going up from there.
Well, you want to add more team in terms of marketing or production?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, that's kind of at the bottom of the list right now, like, because I want to promote it and get it out there and get somewhat popular first before I like start playing shows. But definitely getting a band is on the list, getting a booking agent, manager, PR, like all that stuff. Through the process of recording, I also found like at least 100 venues, just like you hear about one here, a different band, or your friend. And then so I've been like keeping them in track, like ready to go, so I can set up a tour right when I get the band too.
Do you have anyone in mind already, or so far it's still kind of open waters?
I mean, it's pretty open. I mean, I just want people to be serious, you know? That's really what it has to be. Like, they can be an okay whatever drummer, bass player, but they just have to be serious about it.
You just had mentioned that you don't have enough time and whatnot. How has that been, you know, recording an album and also going to Citrus at the same time? You want to pursue a music career, but at the same time, you want to go to school? Or what's your kind of path with that?
Well, I got really close to dropping out this semester because I was like about to release the album and I was like, man, I don't think I have time. Like, but it's just, it's pretty crazy because I have work too, and I have to work to get money for the album and like that kind of stuff. So it really was just like I'd go to school or I'd go to work or get home at like 12 or 11:30 and then record all night till like 5 in the morning or do that like over and over again. And then yeah, my eyes were bloodshot for so long. I don't think they've recovered from that still, so.
So you were staying up late, not doing homework, but recording on that, that album.
Yeah, uh-huh. No homework for sure. Uh-huh. I mean, if I really had to, like, but I don't know. Definitely not my main focus, mm-hmm. So.
So again, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, of course.
This is your opportunity. You could talk about where can we find your music and whatnot.
Pretty much anywhere that I can think of. Spotify, SoundCloud, Bandcamp. Probably the best is Spotify. If you want merch, then that's on my Bandcamp. Probably going to be getting some shirts too soon, so keep a lookout.
That does it for this episode of the Citrus Clarion Podcast. Shane's first solo album, Amor Glamour, can be found on Bandcamp, Spotify, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Again, you could find the article we discussed on ccclarion.com. Do you know something the Clarion should be covering? Email us at contact.ccclarion.com. We'll see you next episode.